I'd like to take us to the end of 1 Timothy 5 today, take us through the end of 1 Timothy 5. We were going through 1 Timothy last fall. We had occasion to take a break and would like to return to it today. It's actually fitting that we do so because as we talk about spiritual sight, 2020 spiritual vision this year, there were actually quite a few significant phrases about seeing things spiritually. In 1 Timothy 5, we're going to find things about being in the sight of God, things about people witnessing something else, phrases about things that are hidden being brought to light. Everything about you will one day be seen. Everything will one day be made known. Even things that appear to be hidden. You think they're hidden. One day they're going to come out. The one we need to see. Last week we talked about the one we need to see is the one we need to be able to see. This week we're going to see, we're going to hear, the one we need to see is seeing us. Everything about us is seeing all the time. Everything will be exposed. And when that happens, grace is going to mean getting what someone deserves. You heard me right. Normally we think about it the opposite. Grace is not getting what someone deserves, or grace is getting something you don't deserve, but grace really, finally, is getting what someone deserves. Everything's going to be brought to light. Now, to set that up or to get to that point, I'm going to hope to show us today there are two themes interlaced in this passage. Two themes woven together in this passage. There is economic terminology here, and there is legal terminology. All right? Economic having to do with finances, wages. Legal having to do with the law, lawyering, all sorts of those types of things. So economic, think payments. Right? Someone's going to get paid working. Payment, but also legal. Think about disputes over payment. That happens all the time, doesn't it? In fact, legal dynamics and money go together very often. That's not unusual at all. So there's all this legal imagery, an oath in the passage, and accusations and charges, witnesses, a judgment, and so forth. So in the midst of this, contract negotiations, wage disputes, we're going to see one, gathering the witnesses, right, for this dispute, gathering the witnesses, plural. We're going to see two, collecting the evidence, all of it, even what appears to be hidden, collecting the evidence, and then three, hearing the verdict. The worker and his wages, it might seem like a hodgepodge of miscellaneous instructions at first, but I promise you it is all tightly bound together. Everything is going to come to light. 1 Timothy 5, 17 through the end. Paul says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. And the laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. I testify solemnly before God or in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels that you follow these things without prejudice, doing nothing according to partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine. I'm just reading the Bible. For the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some people are conspicuous or obvious, going ahead of them, before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later or trail behind. In the same way, so also, good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. This is the word of the Lord. Witnesses, gathering the evidence, hearing the verdict regarding wages. That's the general direction. Along the way, I'm going to endeavor to show us just two or three sidebars, sort of like new tabs in your internet browser, okay? If you're over the age of 60, there are these things called tabs in your internet browser. They allow you to explore one new article while you keep your place in the first one. There are these things called tabs. If you're over the age of 70, there are these things called internet browsers. They allow you to look at the World Wide Web. If you're over the age of 80, there's this thing called the internet. We're going to show you some new tabs along the way, but really, main article and then just a few really important side points. First, gathering the witnesses. What a way to start. Verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially the ones who preach. This feels a little like a politician campaigning on, you know, the first thing I'm going to do in office is double the salary for legislators. That's the first thing I'm going to do in office. Seems a little self-serving, doesn't it? Double honor for preachers. Preach that. This is about money, yes. But this is not only about money. That this has something to do with money can be seen in the very next verse. Verse 18 goes on to speak of wages. And this Old Testament principle of the ox receiving its livelihood from the work that it was doing. Payment for services rendered has to do with money. But also, it can be seen in verse 17 itself. You see, the word for honor is the same word as when we talked about care for widows last fall. It's the word from which we get our root for honorarium. Financial remuneration, financial consideration, payment, honor. So let me say at the outset, my family and I are well cared for by this church. I'm not asking you for more money. All right. I didn't run this by the rest of the staff, but speaking collectively, my coworkers and I, we are well cared for by this church. So thank you. And indeed, we're not just asking for money today. I'm not asking for money today. And in fact, many stay away from this and things like this in God's word because they don't want to come across as simply asking for money. Yet that can hardly be a solution because, well, it's in here for a reason, right? It's in here on purpose, so we need to be able to talk about it. It cannot be that Paul means raise the pastor's salary through the roof. Because, and you're welcome for saying that, it can't mean that that's what he's after because he's going to talk against materialism at the start of the very next chapter. He's not talking about get more and more material stuff. And if pastors do start to get too high a view of themselves from this passage. I mean, look.